Talk Show. It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 437.
What's happening, guys? What's going on?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. And the hoodies have arrived.
Yes. I'm very excited by that.
Well, we got four or five boxes, Mr. 97?
Five boxes.
Filled to the brim. The Daily Talk Show hoodies, these are being mailed out very soon. Yeah. So if you've got in and got the first round, actually the first and only round of these hoodies. So it's we called it a one and only.
A limited run.
Limited run of this particular style. So
So if you didn't get them, you're
sucked on. Sucked in. Sucked on.
Sucked on. Sucked on. Get around it. If you're going to troll someone, you've got to really
get them with the old sucked on.
Yeah. I tried DD this morning.
Oh, yeah. It's hola. It's the similar one. It's like DD. You're talking about a cab service.
Ride sharing.
Ride sharing. Yeah.
And so it's similar, like the guy also does Uber.
Oh, they've got them all, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like that guy in New York City.
Mm-hmm. He's got like four phones. Looks just like fucking NASA.
I mean, you're in your little, you know.
Cockpit.
Your
I actually
cockpit.
Like that idea. I like having lots of phone, like a lot of phones, things going on.
Very disengaged core.
Yeah. It's just really relaxing.
That disengaged life.
Yeah. But when I sat in the DD,
yeah,
it doesn't have the same ring. Like if I tell someone, hey, I'm going to be there just in the DD. It's confusing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Very confusing.
And so it happened multiple times. Like on the way back, I caught DD and needed to piss so bad that I was like sweating profusely. And I actually got into a meditative state. I had to meditate because I was like,
God, the only time he meditates is when he needs to piss real bad.
No, but I was,
start somewhere.
It's the only other time he engages his core as well.
Mum
used to tell me to do like Kegel exercise, like squeeze my bum hole.
Nah, it's too late. Trying to work out how to squeeze when you need to. So what I did was like at first I was literally driving along a park and it was getting to a point where I was like going to get him to pull over. So I could piss on a tree, but it was in the CBD.
It's illegal.
So you can't do it. But anyway, when I first got into the DD, I sit down, I was like, there was keys. And I was like, oh, I nearly locked because I'm wearing my hoodie. Mm. I put the keys in the hoodie pouch. I was like, fuck, that could have been close. Could have lost them. Picked them up. Not my keys.
Someone else's keys
in the back of the DD.
Oh, that's so annoying. You hope he did the right thing. What did you say?
Well, so I looked at the keys and it had a good health or like one of the fitness places, good fitness, whatever it is.
Great idea.
Camberwell. Yep. So I called them and I said, hey, one of your members have left their keys in an Uber because I couldn't be fucked dealing with explaining what DD is. And so I just said,
oh, they're like, whoa, forget the keys. What is DD?
I know.
Who is she? Is that the member's name?
It's a little bit confusing. And so I did I said, can you contact the member, let them know, give them my number and they can call me.
And have they called?
And so the trip was like a 30-minute trip to the city. It took ages this morning.
Really?
And
I mean, I thought you were walking. You're in shorts and they're very short.
Well, I was planning on doing a walk, but my friend cancelled.
Okay.
I gave it like halfway through the trip and then I called the gym again because I hadn't heard anything. And the gym person said, it's like, oh, I spoke to him. He was really grateful. I'm surprised he hasn't called back. Mm. And I was like, okay. I was just calling because, you know, I'm going to be out of the car soon. And so I was thinking in my head, I was like, okay, well, I could take the keys, get them to pick it up from the office. And I was like, you know what? If they don't call back, I think that I'm better off just leaving them in the car. And then it just become and tell the driver and say, hey, here are the keys. Can you sort it out?
So you made it your problem and then you're then handballing it back over to the driver.
It was a problem whilst I was in the vehicle.
But you've engaged the problem. I mean, I appreciate it. I think it's a commendable thing to do.
Well, it's the equivalent. What you're saying is that you call 000 and you're expecting me to then also resuscitate the person when the paramedics are there.
Oh, no, not at all. I think it'd be a Gronk move to leave the keys in the car and not mention them.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I mentioned so you it. Mentioned I told them, the guy. But then he was so slow. Like, it was one of those cases where I was catching up with Uncle Trev. He's come to Melbourne.
Yeah, he was first time meeting Trev.
Yeah,
he was. I mean, he was with the solicitors, wasn't he? For the repayment. We're going on a payment plan for Dill's minibar.
The debt collectors are after him.
I saw you shouted in breakfast. Well done,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, bacon and egg.
Did he try and push panini. Back on that?
Yeah, he did.
He's such an Aussie bloke.
Just a dad. He has his Samsung Note 10 or whatever he's rocking, the new one. Yeah, he's got it ready to go.
Mate, just let Josh get the bacon and egg McMuffins.
Yeah, they were paninis. He was the driver was so slow. And just like that annoying thing where they're indicating, like someone would indicate in front and then they wouldn't go around, all that sort of thing. So it was, the driver wasn't that competent in driving. So I did wonder about his competency of getting these keys to the person.
So we'll never know.
Well, I got a voicemail.
Did you?
From the guy whose keys it was.
What was his name? Brett?
Don't know. Didn't say his
name. Didn't say his name?
No. But I didn't answer. Because I wanted it just to go voicemail because not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
And he just said, hi, you know, I heard you got the keys. Thanks so much. Give me a call back. And this was like, I mean, the thing is that he's called me at 11:36 a.m. The whole key thing, I contacted the gym at 8:30. And so he's given like, if you find out someone's got your keys.
I think you should have pocketed them. I think you should have just had them.
No, because then it does become my problem.
No, but it became your problem.
But there was a loss in profit. No. So what should I have done?
Have them on you and you can come pick them up from the studio.
I can guarantee it would have annoyed the fuck out of you because what would have happened?
No, I don't really care.
Because I would have said, guys, we can't do the show until John picks up his keys.
That's all right. John could have got them midway through. But I think, I wonder if he'll get them back now.
Well, I texted him.
Yeah, and what did he say? Because does he have a number? Did you give a number of the doo-doo driver?
Oh, I don't have that.
How is he going to find the Diddy driver?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he knows now. Because if you think about it, if I didn't contact him, he could have been like, where are my keys? They could be anywhere in the world. So now he knows that they were in the car. It's his responsibility to work out how to get to that car.
Someone was telling me a story about leaving a phone in an Uber and then they got onto the Uber driver and then he was just being really shit getting back to them. And so he did the find my iPhone thing, went out to the western suburbs, found the fucking car, knocking on the door. The dude's like, oh, and you know, got him. But the pain in the ass that it was for him. Mm. So maybe it's going to be a real pain in the dick.
Yeah, so I said, hey there, I left your keys with the driver as I hadn't heard anything after I called the gym. Hope you get them okay.
Yeah.
There is a lost and found button within the app, I believe.
Did you do the research or you just looked
I
on
just
your-
saw, yeah, I did see like a lost and found.
I just hope he gets them back.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I mean, if that were my keys, I'd be straight. Mate, can you give me the guy who's calling the phone number?
Exactly.
I'll call him.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And that's how I
need my house keys.
Yeah.
Far out.
Well, I actually saw there's a radio personality in the US named Bobby Bones. He's sort of like the country version of Ryan Seacrest. And he did an Insta story the other day where he found someone's driver's license and he did an Insta story where he just took a photo and said, hey, does anyone know this person? I want to give her back her license.
Well, he's a celeb, so I guess it would be easier to. But I mean, was the number on there?
This is the weird thing. He kept her date of birth.
Oh, that's okay.
Do you think?
That's okay. It's as long as the driver's license number.
Yeah, that was gone. Date of birth is fine.
Maybe he's trying to do it. Like, I mean, it's
all for content.
It's definitely all for content. I tell you something, one night, I mean, when you're drunk and going to nightclubs and getting Ubers around or doo-doos these days, DDs these days,
it's a funny troll.
You definitely will lose shit. And so one night, me and this girl, Rachel, were going to the city in a cab to pick up her phone that she had left with her friend. So it was like a 20-minute cab.
Why were you going with Rachel?
Because we were heading back to her place. We're hanging out.
Okay.
And so anyway, this was fucking 8 years ago or something. Anyway, driving along, pick up the phone. What do you mean, why was I with Rachel?
No, well, I don't think you even have to use names.
Just use
your name.
With Rachel.
Dropped off. Is she your girlfriend or no?
Dropped off. we got to this club. She goes up, gets the phone back. And we're like, great, got the phone. Mm-hmm. Go home. Next morning. Where the fuck's my phone? She left it in the cab that we had got to go and pick up her phone. So the next morning, we are calling it and this guy answers. He's like, hello. He's like, Irish accent, can't do it.
No, you
can't. That was Irish.
Hello. Well, hello.
It just definitely wasn't.
Yes, this is Scott. How you going? Anyway, I can't do it. Anyway, we organised to go and pick the phone up from his place. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too far away, so we drove there. And he was the nicest guy. He's like, yeah, I was in the cab last night and I saw the phone and I thought, oh, I'll just take it and in the morning I'll call and make the, you know, connect the dots and get it back to the owner. That was a commendable guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you were halfway there. Mm-hmm. You were halfway to being a real commendable guy.
Well, I just feel that in a previous life, I've been described as having levels of codependency.
Okay. And I didn't want to
fall into the trap of somehow being codependent with someone's keys that I just found. So I was sort of like, you know what? I've done my bit. Because there's part of me which is like, you know what? I'm going to drop them off to where is he living or working? Yeah. I'll drop them off, make sure he gets them okay. And then I was like, you know what? No.
I mean, what goes around comes around. Yeah, hopefully he gets them. Hopefully this is – I think we should try and close the loop
maybe
tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll text him.
Text him and go, hey, bro, did you get your keys?
Did you get your keys?
I think we'll just give you a bit of an update
Just imagine if, for instance, it was, you know, I don't know, in the opposite side of town, and how annoying would it be if someone had your keys and they just kept moving around? Like, that's how I felt. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go from work to home.
Oh, no, but the good thing about having a business is we've got business hours. Mm. Essentially, we're in here all the time.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Have you found anything before 90 Sevs? Anything on the ground?
That you've returned?
That I've returned?
nothing.
No, actually, I can't think of anything that I've actually found.
You were on the receiving end of a Good Samaritan when you gave your GoPro that you actually wanted to keep to the guy
horrendous.
That bought all the old shitty ones. And so he's got this, whatever, 4K GoPro in the
mix.
Got
this nice little brand new GoPro.
So, yeah, you were selling all these old ones and then you just had a GoPro box and forgot to take you the one you're actually keeping.
Yeah.
So did he have to then spend the money
to post it back? Yeah.
And you didn't reimburse him?
No.
You say this is what I mean.
So, the thing is, right?
Look at this guy, bloke. So right now, you could say, I don't know what bloke
you are.
I think
it was really good. I think I could have ignored the situation completely. I could have pretended that the keys weren't there.
Massive gronk move. I appreciate it because you could have also just grabbed them and gone, mate, pair of keys back here, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was like you started something.
Yeah. The other thing too, the reason why I gave them to the driver was because when I, after all of that happened and I was on the phone to the gym, the driver's phone kept calling, like ringing, and he kept declining it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was the person.
Oh, because you can call.
Like, I'm guessing it was probably like a lost and found option.
Yeah.
And he kept apologizing to me being like, oh, sorry, my phone keeps ringing.
I mean, I'm sus on all of these Uber drivers. They're having fucking family meetings.
Yeah.
DDs, whatever. They're always on the phone.
On the headphones.
It's ridiculous. The key thing, so I worked in an old school gym. Mm-hmm. Actually, saying that now, if you don't have your membership and you go to Fitness First, so you just have forgotten your cards, you can say, here's my keys in exchange for a replacement card just for the time that you're at the gym. So you can use lockers and whatever. Anyway, so I hand over my keys, but I'm always apprehensive because I'm like, fucking, these could just be handed out because I've handed the wrong set of keys out before. When I worked at Body World, this old school bodybuilding gym, we just had a key, like a hanger, and then, you know, you give gronks an inch, they'll take a mile. So everybody bought their keys in to do a workout and they'd just be like, oh, take my keys. Oh, actually, can you take my wallet? And so you end up just, we're taking so many things of people and there's a high chance that it fucks up. So I took these keys and hung them up amongst a bunch. Mm-hmm. And you got good at going, they're Bruce's keys, they're Janet's keys, you know. Mm-hmm. But this one day I gave a pair of keys to this guy and I didn't know I fucked up.
And what did he say?
He took them. He went home and then another member comes up and says, can I have my keys? And I'm just going, oh, I don't know where they are. I'm looking for the tags. And so I've fucked it. I'd given the wrong set of keys to the wrong person.
I mean, this happens traveling a lot. Like, I feel like it's always in the places where you feel like it's a potential for getting your identity stolen.
Oh, I mean, and that's a weird thing in itself. people stealing your identity.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing. I mean, that's a lot more than keys. But think about, like, passports. Like, if you go to if you're doing random shit, I feel like in Turkey when Bree and I were doing the like our hot air balloon in Cappadocia, they would –
That's like right now, isn't it? A year ago.
A year ago, yeah.
Wow.
But I feel like we're giving passports and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, just, you don't want to – it's like the golden ticket, you know, to get out of a country. Like, yeah. You don't want to not have a passport in somewhere like Turkey.
Yeah. Have you even got a passport?
I got a passport,
I actually asked him to get his ESTA. So he's got his ESTA.
I've got an ESTA.
So at any moment we could leave for the US if we wanted to.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
My friend flew all the way to the US and then got denied.
Oh, no.
Why? Because they didn't have their ESTA?
No. Because she'd gone in on an ESTA, but she'd lived there. So then they think that she was coming back to work and trying, you know. Mm-hmm. I get it. They're very strict on border security and people trying to migrate. But you get all the way there. And my question was, how did you get back? Like, did they put you on a flight straight away? It's the airline's responsibility.
Do they charge you?
Yeah, does she pay for it?
No. So the airline.
This is a loophole. This is good.
Well, you got to pay for the one there. So she's completely wasted 30 plus hours and stress of just rocking up and coming back. Because the airline, there's some deal where it's.
Buy one, get a return.
No, for but they're the. So it must be in some sort of. What do you call it? Fucking aeronautical agreement. I don't know. Who are the airports anyway? So it must be the
aeronautical agreement.
Look it up. Aeronautical agreement. So what I'm trying to say is the airlines have an agreement. I don't know who with. It must be the US.
What does aeronautical mean, by the way?
Aeronautical. Isn't it just about like things in the sky?
Aeronautical agreements and arrangements.
Okay. No, but we don't actually.
Australia's air service.
Can you just go onto Google and type in define aeronautical?
Yeah, sure.
It's a good word.
Aeronautical. I can't believe I even know this. I pull words out my ass and I sometimes get it right. And today might be one of those days.
Relating to the science or practice of building or flying aircraft.
Yeah, it's the wrong context, 100%.
No, yeah.
But.
Yeah, what's their physics agreement?
So who has, who's the agreement with? So is it Australia? So if you fly United Airlines, is it United Airlines has a deal with their own government that if someone comes in and they get denied, it's their responsibility to send them straight back.
Well, that's why they check, because normally they do their checking before you even get on the flight. Like they need to, you know, look over and make sure you've got your ESTA.
But maybe that's the thing, you've actually got your ESTA, but then you get knocked back for another reason.
Or how about the, yeah. So I get what you're
saying.
It's
fucking tough.
Well, like, how about this? So annoying. 97, you probably never heard this. Early, like we were doing the show when I was traveling.
Oh, no.
And we actually, on the way to the US, so I was flying from Athens to Turkey and then out Turkey to the US.
You were lucky even to get to Athens because the wind and the – oh.
Yeah. Oh, that was right. So, we were on Paros on an island and basically we were going to be interviewing Seth Godin in New York in like 3 days' time. I was in Paros and we'd organized flights out of a boat out of Paros to Athens, and then Athens we're getting on a flight and going to New York via Istanbul in Turkey. Anyway, when we're in Paros, they cancelled all boats because of weather, and so the only way out was by plane, and there was only one plane that was leaving on the day that we were leaving. Like basically we found out the morning of and we were got the last two tickets on the flight.
These planes are so small because the islands just like are propeller. Tiny.
So just like so we did that, so that was fine. Got to Athens airport and lined up, showed my ESTA. And then Brie was just like Google, like finding on her phone her ESTA. It turns out that her ESTA had expired. So she didn't have a visa to be able to go into the US.
I know.
And so they wouldn't let us go onto the flight to Istanbul because she didn't have it. And so we were sitting using, and this is what like what pays off for me needing to be connected all the time means I had great data.
Yeah.
And so we connected to the website. And, you know, like you go on and you filled out the form. So we had to fill out an ESTA form. And then it says like it's got 48 hours to do it. And so filled one out and then refreshed the page and it said confirmed.
Dude, it says on there 48 hours minimum usually.
It says 10 business days or something like that.
Maybe for you.
Because he went the cheaper option.
Well, you can. Here's a tip for you. Some people fuck up by going to they Google Esther and they go through a third party and end up spending heaps more. You can go directly on the government site.
That's where you have to. That's where you should go. I can't believe that they. Because someone said I actually overheard someone recently saying, "Oh, you need at least 2 days or something to get your Esther. They won't let you in." But I reckon that's like such a rare case that you can refresh and have it there.
Yeah, that was lucky. I reckon it's probably because Brie had an Esther before.
Mm.
But the thing is,
but she's mates with Trump as well.
Yeah, so. It just made a call. No, but I think that I just think about if we had fucked up one thing.
So
if it was just like in that stress of doing it all, because we tried to do it on the phone. It shows where just user experience is horrendous trying to do it on the phone. So we had taken out my laptop and was doing hotspotting.
Government websites on any phone.
Still haven't checked that MyGov message.
Don't check MyGov on your phone. Yeah. It's atrocious. Actually, maybe there's an app. Is there an app?
No, there isn't. Brie was like, there's an app. You should download it. No way.
No way. It's a web face app.
No, there's a Medi. I think it's a Medicare app.
Okay. So what would have you done hypothetically if – so you could get in, Brie couldn't. What do you do?
Well, I was on the plane.
I was in the air.
Yeah.
I was flying over.
Well, Brie and I had already talked about it and she was very much like, look, yeah, this is my fuck up. And because Brie is the most organized person I know. And so for her, like we were coming off the back of 3.5 months of just leisure.
Mm.
And so I guess that's part of what happened. But she was like – you're going to go on, like, you have to go. And so, like, we were almost preparing ourselves, like, okay, well, you're going to be okay. We'll organize a flight and make it work. And maybe I probably should have known that the Esther would have been fine. And so I should have gone harder of being the hero and said, no, I'm not going. But I was like, yep. You'll be right. You'll have to get a hotel, but I'll make it. And you know what I mean?
No, like, I appreciate it. Mate, we had Seth Godin.
Yeah.
We'd leave our wives and our girlfriends to go see Seth Godin. Exactly.
And so,
these are worse places to be left.
But it's the equivalent. Athens. Yeah, no, but it's the equivalent of like showing your cards unnecessarily. Like if you're going to be late to something.
Yeah.
The other day I was running late. I was like, 9 times out of 10, this person's late.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything, and let's just see what happens. And sure enough, I bet them to the location. And so then I didn't look like I was late.
We've done it with the podcast. We had something come up where we needed to shift a guest that we wanted to record but just had to do something. Yeah, yeah. And I held out and boom.
Yeah, just a couple of professionals at work.
No, I think it's pretty human. I think it's especially if you want to have a nice night home and your friends cancel on you. There's actually nothing better. It feels like you're on like, you know, it feels like a public holiday. It feels like you're
free time.
On holiday. These hours, these don't feel normal, you know.
Cancel culture.
Cancel culture.
It's a thing.
But he said
there was literally a New York Times. If you type in cancel culture, New York Times 97, there was an article probably written 2.5 years ago all about it.
I think cancel culture now is a different thing. It's all about the people getting cancelled, like shows being cancelled. But that wasn't the same thing.
I mean, I have seen I watch Saturday Night Rove.
Is there
so Rove McManus has a TV show on Saturday nights. And
Rove is a Australian TV personality that was, when Josh and I were growing up, one of my favourite shows. Yeah. Rove Live, Hamish and Andy I watched it for them, Ryan Shelton.
So it was so good. So this is the thing. So I watched it and I had to turn it off based on the pain that it was giving me.
Really?
And then I went down a rabbit hole of like, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch some of his old stuff. And I watched all like highlights of Rove Live 2004. And it was just the best TV. Really? They had like Avril Lavigne performing, Pink performing. They had Hilary Duff on the, and it was just this back and forth, really quick conversations. And maybe it's like just too much pressure.
I thought you were going to say it was you watched it and it wasn't as good as what you remember, because that happens a lot.
No, the, this is the thing. Okay, Rove awesome. Live 2004 holds up as an amazing show.
He used to like close down a street, a cul-de-sac in a suburban neighborhood and do the show from like the houses. Remember how sick that was?
He did. He would do a thing where they would go live and they would – you would not know this, Mr. 97. You probably – what are you Googling right now?
Cancel culture.
No, there's actually – it's not the right thing, cancel culture.
It's the thing I was talking about?
Yeah. It's musicians being canceled and also like –
comedians. It's it's playing
– everything's being canceled.
Yeah.
No, it's about like someone says the wrong fucking thing.
It only
thing.
Takes one thing for fans to dump a celebrity. That's the
– Oh, interesting. No, I swear –
Cancel culture, I've only heard in respect to like comedians saying the wrong thing and then their Netflix special.
Friends cancelling plans and then write cancel culture, just so I'm right.
Some hipster New York Times reporter used it in the wrong context.
No, but this was from a few years ago now, because I remember doing a Facebook post just saying, sad, even though that's definitely
So Rove Live, new show, it's not, is he trying to be the old Rove, or is it like a
– Yeah, I'm trying to work out what it is.
Or is it just the times?
Part of it is that it's the times. Mm. So the shit that you could laugh at in 2004, whereas it felt like there was a constant feeling of, you can't say that, like, which I think is a good thing, but maybe from a comedic flow, you've got an audience. Oh, that was the other thing. They were... I've seen Conan live, I've seen Jimmy Kimmel live, and there's a lot of work done, especially Jimmy Kimmel I saw at South by Southwest, but Conan I saw at his studio, and they do heaps of work around like getting everyone excited and clapping and just like laughing, and it almost feels ridiculous because they say, okay, when Conan comes out, you need to be clapping and he's going to tell you to stop. You just got to keep going, okay, right? And it's almost like they said that to Rove's audience, but if you're feeling a little bit anxious, just clap, right? And so there's just like every time Jessica Malboy said something, everyone's like clapping. Yeah. And it just – I was – and I feel like it – yeah, what is that? Because they're all talented people. Mm. They're all like amazing – entertainers.
Well, so they're trying to engineer when people clap, right? It's like sitcoms or even Seinfeld was like, you could hear the crowd, you know, it's like you can hear it. You're told when to laugh, but maybe that's the problem, that it's actually not that funny. And we're just conditioned differently now that we laugh when we want.
Well, it's almost like celebrating. The audience is like designed to celebrate the guests.
Yeah.
And so when it's not necessarily connecting or like I think it would be really hard. I reckon if we're trying to have a conversation and every single time we said something that's not that funny, it got a clap and a laugh. Yeah,
which I'm disappointed Mr. 97 doesn't actually do that. There you go. Got my little laugh.
I don't think it even opened up the noise gate. Maybe laughs are good.
At live events, things are funnier. Podcasts. This is why Joe Rogan said, I don't record mine live. It's because it's a different environment, right? It actually suits a nice, comfortable, small, intimate room. I mean, it's nice to have people here, but when you do, say if we put 20, 30, 40, 50 people in front of us, I'm sure the energy would be different and people will connect with different things that they won't through the headphones when they're just by themselves.
And like I would love to see like Australian TV talk shows, like evening sort of like night shows, there's not really anything.
They don't exist. Kinney, but that's all pre-recorded. The Project, I mean, that's Rove's baby too.
Roving Enterprises.
What channel was it on?
Ten.
Back to his old stomping ground. Yeah. I mean, they'll cancel it, right?
It had a really bad ratings as well.
I mean, TV.
Crude and unfunny.
Crude and unfunny is what it says.
Yeah, read an article. What is it?
That's the Daily Mail, but some tweets.
No, they're trusty.
Rove, sometimes you need to be aware when to throw in the towel. Saturday night was a bit
Josh
of a
Danton?
Fizzer.
I mean, this is the thing.
No, I think you're probably on the money.
The criticism, though, what I worry about is that the answer? Does Rove just have to fucking give up? That doesn't feel fair.
He's playing.
Well, maybe not fair, but does that feel like.
But I think as an artist, you need to understand the times, or you at least need to have a crack. Did he just get a shitload of cash and doing what he wants to do? So maybe he's winning.
Yeah.
But I think artists want to have that. They want something to work, something to connect, something
He just wants to do a good job.
Exactly. So, yeah. But maybe why doesn't he have a podcast? Why doesn't he have
and so that
a
was talk part show? Of it.
Like, look at what we create with not much money.
I guess that was part of it, which was like maybe like if all of this is just like muscles, we're building muscles, he hasn't lifted a weight from our eyes based on like what we're seeing in the public. He hasn't lifted, you know, a heavy weight in 7 years, 7 or 8 years or however long it was since Rove. And then so him just getting out and being able to do it is really hard.
He did Rove LA and that didn't go so well.
Which I watched some of that too. And I heard him, he was interviewing Seth MacFarlane and yeah, it's interesting.
What's commendable about Rove is that he conquered Australian television, created a company that now has one of probably the most popular night shows, if there is any, The Project. And then I saw him write about Rove LA. It was his dream to go and have a show in LA. So he fulfilled that dream, right? It'd be like if we wanted to do something and but it doesn't land. So how do you see it? It's like we've accomplished the thing. We've done the action of creating the show, but it hasn't done the reward on the other side of it, which is probably what he's doing now.
Maybe it's also like culture. So if you think about when Rove was doing that show, it was like one of the first seasons of Big Brother, one of the first seasons of Australian Idol. It's like when everyone was watching, like when you would go to school, everyone was talking about the same thing. Mm. And it felt like reality had that novelty. We weren't sort of over like he was having hard hitting conversations with like Big Brother people.
Yeah.
It's just like, and if you tried to do that on The Bachelor, like crew, it would
people
sort
of are
fall
there,
flat.
People are there for the garbage, but that's what it's not.
But it was a really good,
else.
It felt fucking great. I'll put a link in the show notes because that
old school Rove.
Yeah. That 8 minute highlights package.
Yeah.
I went down an absolute rabbit hole. Someone had put together like a 5 minute montage of Carrie Bickmore with no dialogue, just like jazz music. It's quite strange.
I mean, there's lots of successful people that came that were on the rise within that show. Now they're superstars in Australia. So, yeah, whether it's his time or not. Just to wrap up, we've got an email, Mr. 97.
Got a couple just of emails. One? We've got a couple. Ryan Spencer, it's the end of an era, but hey, that was one hell of a send-off. This is in relation to Dill.
Yeah, we've got a video going up for Dill's last send-off today.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
What have you been working
on?
Yeah,
it's cut together. We'll get it up soon.
What's in it?
It's just him eating that cake. It's ridiculous. Oh, great. Poor bastard. 2,500 calories. Go to our Instagram. It's an IGTV video.
Oh, perfect.
Great.
It went for more than a minute.
Yeah.
Him eating the cake.
That sped up as well, wasn't it?
So what I did was I cut every moment. I didn't do a time lapse. I cut every moment he took a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just – it's so funny. It's great.
Great.
I wasn't looking for a response from you, mate. This is where you just take on that.
That's good.
Perfect.
Perfect. Great. You can't just let it go.
Just let it go.
Though I was a little disappointed that they weren't Lamington cakes.
Mm. We did Lamingtons in the early days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. This is from Dill's mum.
Too healthy as well, Lamingtons.
Yeah, we have one of those. We calories,
pink,
baby.
We needed a bit of pink pink icing.
It smelled like a pink donut. Yeah. Like it smelled, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
Real sugary. Josh, Tommy, Mr. 97 and all. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for inviting Dill to Melbourne, accepting him as an intern and being there for him for the past 4 months.
This is his mum. Lead with names.
He did. He said Michelle, but it was.
But leave with context.
Words alone cannot express our thanks for everything you and all the people he has met have done for him while he was there. You have all become part of our family, and we look forward to seeing what the future holds for the Daily Talk Show and for all of you personally. We wish you all the best for future endeavors, and we'll be following along with everything on Instagram and watching on YouTube.
Steering up. Steering
lovely.
Up. Jesus.
I mean, the Gronk squad has grown.
It has. Yeah, yeah. It felt like a sending Dill off into his hotel room, which could have been a really bad idea. He stayed at the airport
yeah.
The night before his flight.
Wonder what he – do you know what he ate?
Nah.
I didn't ask him.
I think he's probably just...
Do you reckon he went with room service?
Probably.
Nah.
It was his card. It was his card. Oh, it wasn't our card.
No. I don't think he would have done room service. Because you were saying...
Anyway, we can
You
get
were
him.
Telling him to... You're really selling in room service.
Oh, well, when you're in a hotel, I don't know. It's just... You can't be fucked doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, but Dill loves this shit.
Yeah. But the thing that I love, hotels, having CNN on, just watching the news.
Yeah, but
or it's a bit of golf.
Complimented yeah. with a, what do you call it? The little triangle sandwiches, the club sandwich? Club sandwich?
Yeah.
Chicken, lettuce, under bacon. We worked that out, remember?
Yeah.
And anyway, we got another email.
Yeah, another one from Carl Dundas. Hi, Tommy, Josh, Mr. 97 and 3D Dill. Lads, I just wanted to say thank you. I've listened to episode 100 with Hamish Blake from the 1 hour mark countless times.
Don't know what happened before the hour mark, just us talking shit.
But maybe it was where Haim went real reflective.
Yeah, I think that we...
I got to listen to that again.
You and I even talk about the fact that like our first few minutes of a conversation, it's not our strongest.
I don't think there's many. Great podcasters. Some of the, my favorite ones all say 20 minutes, you're kind of hitting a stride. Mm-hmm. Everything's just relaxed at that point.
How long did that conversation go for? An hour 10? 10 minutes at the end?
Haim was so generous. He'd just flown in from Sydney. Yeah. It was late. We got the episode just out. Yeah, that was like 11.
That would have been one of the latest episodes we ever put out. Mate. It was like 11:30.
Yeah.
It's completely changed my perspective on life and creativity. You have no idea how much I really appreciate that you've put Hamish's conversation out into the world. Keep on creeping on. Woo! As well.
Keep on creeping on.
Thanks, bro.
I mean, I think it's the why it's so amazing what we get to do, and that the fact that so many like Marley yesterday, like so many amazing people are willing to have conversations with us because it's very easy to just say no or just ignore our requests.
Yeah, totally. It's just a capturing a moment of time. Like that's what I love about like an hour and whatever it was with Haim, over an hour.
You should have looked that up.
Yeah.
You know you did.
Josh gave you a few bits of bait and he didn't nibble.
Well, he nearly did. I think you gestured as if you were going to.
But we've got that moment in time. That people, anyone can listen back to. It's a weird thing. And so as we forget totally about the past when we're just constantly thinking today, what's on tomorrow, what's on the next day, what's on this week.
Hour 44.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good solid 50-something minutes. Yeah, fuck yeah.
44.
Yeah, 44. I thought he said 50 minutes. Anyway, it's I've captured this in time. That's fucked. Can we delete this?
No,
we don't edit. That's what I also love. We don't edit any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So every conversation you're hearing is unedited. It's unscripted.
Mm-hmm. We literally had someone that might not come on based on it not being edited.
I think they're coming on.
Okay, good.
But it's a moment where we stand strong to what we are. Mm-hmm. We're not a show that edits. And for that reason,
we're
understand.
Lazy fucks.
But also, I think there is an exchange you do with not editing. So that's why we encourage people, if you're starting, not to edit, because you're actually going, I'm signing up for giving my genuine take on something, and you're outed. If you create a podcast and you get in a lot of trouble, it's probably because you think a whole bunch of shit that isn't.
Well, we've outed ourselves so many times for being dumb. Like if you think about it, I was even going through the snippets that Mason had made. It's just like so many times where I'm like, oh, why am I still talking? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't edit. Like if we were to listen to it, we could make ourselves sound at least 5% smarter.
I think it's rapid learning too. This, even if you don't care or have aspirations to have some huge podcast, just creating something where you're having conversation or talking is so educational because you have a chance to stuff up and then you come back, and there's no better way to learning than I believe. Than it is by stuffing up. So like
when have you what do you think you've learnt the most through doing this show?
Oh, I've been thinking a lot about what's it called? Stereotypes. And so you could think of a stereotype, and I won't go into it because I think it's something I learnt, but having a stereotype's real, or are they you know, so if you're to class a group of people and stereotype that group of people, this is not, I'm not saying being racist, but it's taking a bunch of people and seeing something that consistently happens and then affirming that by your personal experience with those people. But then I'm thinking, I don't know how, I don't think that there's much benefit in pointing out a stereotype of a certain group of people. Because maybe
stereotypes just put people in boxes.
Exactly.
Are you okay? You just hit your arm there?
Oh, no, it's just noisy because of the headphones. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's one thing I was thinking about. I've probably been quicker to stereotype groups of people in my life, and I've said things on this podcast that have pointed to a certain group of people that have that is me stereotyping, and then I've thought, nah, I don't know if I needed to even acknowledge that area. And so then dropping that out of the conversation. So that that didn't come out of some big thing that went on the show. It's like literally just I said it and I was like, I didn't feel good about it. And so when you don't feel good about something, and that's why showing up, saying stuff, talking, interacting, understanding is your way to learning for me. It makes me understand more about myself. It wasn't even based on someone else's reaction to it, which is usually how people learn. They say something fucked up.
Because when you have new mates.
Yeah.
And you start saying, oh, okay, how would that mate feel about this and that? And we start to like, I guess we are, like Jason Fox talks about co-creating or whatever. We're always constantly co-creating. Yeah. And that's why I think, that's why I love just having more guests on gives us more opportunities to co-create and to learn from other experiences to, which I think is all we're doing is gaining more and more empathy. Yeah. Like I was even
and understanding other perspectives to things, because however we view the world is just based on our, you know, beliefs and thoughts and surroundings. So it's testing all of those, and that's great because you can have people on that we don't actually agree with, but then you can just sort of understand a bit.
Like you don't have to understand someone's politics to have a conversation with them. Like I think maybe we've gone too like black and white with stuff. Like it's either they're either on our side or they're not.
Yeah.
Whereas like I think that there probably is like the gray area, the variables. Like, okay, something has shaped someone's thoughts based on the experiences they've had. And are we further isolating those people based on being like, oh, you know what, you don't believe how we believe, so we're not gonna have you on. I don't know.
Yeah, it's constantly learning.
What about you, 97? What have you learned?
Probably, I think the pod, I'm still learning it, but it's helped me formulate, I guess, and articulate thoughts and opinions. Like I never really thought I had much to say about all these like different topics, but then like something comes up on the show and then it'll make me think about it for the next like few days or whatever. And that's a way for me to, I guess, like succinctly develop my thoughts and be able to articulate them in a sort of succinct manner. Like it's hard because whenever you have those thoughts, they're just in your head and you never actually have to talk about them. So being able to verbalize them has been a big learning for me.
Well, because we're just reacting normally, like we're just in the moment reacting to however we feel without necessarily giving it the critical thought about, okay, why do I think about X, Y, and Z?
And thinking only gets you so far.
Yeah.
There's other pieces to the equation that can take you down. So if you want to be more articulate, how do you get better at being articulate? You speak and then you think. So you think and then translate the thinking into spoken word.
And you listen. Because I guess part of it is it's like you, it's like a year 12 IT, garbage in, garbage out. And so we are the content that we consume. We are the conversations that we have, the people that we listen to. Yeah. And so that's part of it too, is knowing, okay, we don't have all the answers, so let's just have a conversation and listen. It's good.
Marley yesterday said, I think it was, don't listen to learn, listen to
Or don't
learn.
Listen to respond, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to learn, not to respond.
Yes, yeah. Listen to learn, don't listen to respond, which is great because it's like when you're telling somebody about how much awareness they are lacking. That conversation usually goes, here's the things and I don't need anything back from you right now
Yeah.
because here they are and here's how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. Oh, but there's actually, no, you got to listen. Yeah. And then, because if you're just, and I've done this, I think we can all get on the back foot and just, we want to rebut and give an excuse or a reason as to why something happened.
Well, everything's so nuanced too, because just that person's experience and how they're laying it out is their individual experience. Doesn't mean it's right as well.
Yeah.
So that's the other complex bit about the whole thing. So how many times have people said, look, I'm being really honest right now, like trying to frame something really mean in them just being super honest.
Which is
like, oh, no, well, that's still – that's just how you feel. It's not real. Like thoughts aren't facts.
Yeah. Anyway, tomorrow, great show coming up.
Mm-hmm. Shameless.
Yeah. Gals are back on.
Michelle and Zara.
Looking forward to that. Don't ever say that while I'm saying it.
It's a Daily Talk Show. Stop speaking, mate. I'm going to punch you. Yeah, hi, the dailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.